Lord Jesus, we welcome you here. We give you the best seat in the house. We pray that you would have your way as we rejoice this day in your great goodness. Speak, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. I mentioned the suggestion box in the upper hall, and someone kindly left a suggestion for a message, and the person wrote, how do you integrate spirituality into your everyday life? How do you integrate spirituality into your everyday life? So there are lots of ways of doing that. I'm going to address just one area. Canon Harold Percy from Trinity Streetsville wrote a book called Following Jesus, and he talks about being intentional in our spirituality in terms of both food and exercise, spiritually speaking, food and exercise. So I'm going to talk about the food part of it. I love food. Going to be having a great barbecue and Greaves Lobster Fest later today up in Fenland Falls at my parents' place with the family and cousins and so on. I don't know what your plans are, but I hope food is part of it. The food of the Spirit, of course, we mentioned one of those today. In fact, that's the theme of this one area of feeding our spirit is the theme for the messages for the summer when I'm preaching, and that is this one statement. There's power even in one verse of Scripture, the power of one verse of Scripture. Now, you might know a verse of Scripture, you might know many verses of Scripture, but we're talking about the power of that one verse of Scripture, how it grabs a hold of us. It grabs our imagination, it helps motivate us, perhaps in times of difficulty. The verse we're looking at is today's epistle reading that you just heard, Galatians 5. It starts off with, for freedom, Christ has made us free. The verse I want to focus on, of course, was the same as the children's focus from Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 22 and part of 23. And you've heard the song already, and I'm going to do the song again in a minute. I just want to do a little preamble to the song, but I'd love you to help me with the song. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's nine of them. There's actually only one spirit and one fruit, but these are characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a mathematically minded person, there's the first three, love, joy, peace, if you're trying to put them somewhere. Then there's three groups of two, and that's how I put them in my song, as kind of a way of holding on to them, to remember them. So we'll get to that in a minute. My parents that I mentioned, Chris and Mary Greaves, traveled to Europe for the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Part of their motivation for being there a few weeks ago, D-Day during the Second World War happened on June the 6th, 1944. A month and 2 days later, on July 8th, 1944, my dad's godfather, Captain Ernest Garber, from a regiment from Halifax area, he was killed by friendly fire a month and 2 days after D-Day. His grave is in a Canadian cemetery in not far from the landing of Juno Beach over in France. My parents' mission was to do some research about Ernest Garber. They didn't know much about him, except that my father had this photograph of him as a five-year-old sitting on Captain Garber's knee. So they did some research. They wrote to the church where he went to down Halifax, and they got some information about him. And in fact, they got the military record of his medical document about what happened when he was shot. So I don't know if it used the term friendly fire, but it used some couched phrase that indicated it was friendly fire. That he wasn't killed by the shot, but he was killed by peritonitis, an infection that happened a couple of days later on July 8th, 1944. Why do I mention this? I mentioned this, that my parents did find the grave and they talked about it, and it was a very meaningful moment for them in their being able to reconnect, because he hadn't seen him since he was five, right? And there's his grave. Paul writes his letter to the Galatians, and it's like friendly fire to Paul. Paul helped establish the churches. If you look at chapter 1, there are multiple churches. It would be like St. George's Oshawa and St. Matthew's Oshawa and St. Peter's or Christ Church Oshawa. There are four Anglican churches in Oshawa. If Paul were to write a letter to the church in Oshawa, he would just say to the Oshawans or something like that. So this is the Galatians, but he's writing it in the midst of friendly fire. In other words, there are people who have criticized, undermined his work, and he's writing the letter to help put them back on track in terms of understanding the nature of God, his law, his grace in Jesus, the sacrifice of Christ in making it possible for Gentiles, that's who these people were, non-Jews, and Jews, to be together in following Christ. Very important document. It's only 5 chapters, a couple of pages in your New Testament. If you want to look at that story of friendly fire, so to speak. He doesn't get killed as a result. In fact, Christ is able to flourish in that place because of the teaching there about the justification by faith, not by works. In other words, he was saying to the men, you don't have to be circumcised. That was a relief for the fellows in Galatia. So they didn't want any friendly fire of that kind either. So the power of one verse. So when Paul gets to this second last chapter, chapter 5, he's talking about the negative things, fornication, licentiousness, this whole list of, I think it's about 23 different, is it 23? No, 13 different ways that we're pulled away from following Christ, that we can shoot ourselves in the foot, as it were. And then he points to the power of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, to enable us, to empower us to live, even with this one verse in mind, unified, working together in Christ. It's a powerful verse. But you know what? Beyond just the historical or literary aspect of this, because as you know, as a preacher, I preach the message to myself first, because I'm like sitting with Doug and Doris. I'm there listening to the message. I want to listen to what God has to tell me so that I can share that with you. And what I heard was, as on Thursday afternoon, I'm struggling with this verse, because I know it. I know this love, joy, peace. I've heard it lots of times. And I wrote the song, you know, a few years ago. But what just blew my mind as I'm, finishing up from Ted Aldridge's funeral and the reception. It was a beautiful time of celebrating Ted's life. And I had another appointment and came back to the office. I think Darlene had gone by then. And it's 5:30. And I'm thinking, Lord, what are you saying? And I looked over. I have two chairs. I don't know who donated the chairs for the rector's office here, but they're two wonderful chairs. Maybe you know Lonnie, but you forgot. Oh. Anyway, I'm looking over the chairs and I'm thinking, Jesus, you're sitting in one of those chairs. And you're radiating each of these characteristics that I'm singing about and that we're going to sing about. You're radiating love. You're radiating joy. And it isn't just when you're sitting in my office. I hear and I see you in the story of in John chapter 4 of the woman by the well at noontime when she's broken and alone, and she's had 5 relationships, and Jesus is the only person who actually speaks to her as a person that doesn't see her body, sees her as a person, showing that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness to God, because where does worship take place? Is it in Jerusalem? Is it in Samaria? No, it's in the person of Jesus living inside of us. This worship is part of who we are because of the Spirit. People will worship in spirit and in truth. And she gets it. The gentleness that he showed to her was then part of her, do you know what the last one is? Self-control. She felt that she was able to go back to her town and tell them everything that anyone had done to her. And that's a beautiful, that's just one example. You know, there are lots of examples in Scripture of how that love, joy, peace, and all of those characteristics of Jesus shone through with a real person in a real moment of need. I don't know about you, but I love that about Jesus. I love that about him. And that he helps us to get it. Contrasting with that, of course, is the Luke passage from chapter 9. Did you notice that? Yes, I'll follow. No, what did the disciples find? You know, if the town is not going to like you, then you just go away, leave that town, go to another town. So they're in the other town, and what do they say in the other town? I'll follow you, Jesus, but first let me bury my whatever, you know, first let me do this, and first let me do that. So they're putting conditions on the grace that's so freely given. They're making up new laws, new rules, new conditions by which they're going to follow him. So on one hand, we have the contrast of Luke 9 and how difficult it is to follow Jesus. And then we've got Galatians chapter 5, which is so magnificent in its simplicity. There's one spirit, there has these characteristics, and you get to know Jesus, boom, you're going to be able to follow him. Doesn't that sound a little bit like life? It's tough on one hand, and yet it's so simple on the other. What makes the difference is being able to remember the power of one verse, whatever verse that is. Today we're focusing on this one, and I think Mike's going to put the words back up on the screen here in a minute. Just hang on, Mike. I want to just finish off this part with this story from a fellow named Mike Iaconelli. Messy Spirituality, he writes this story. Evangelist Rich Wilkerson, who led a large crusade. I don't know if you've ever heard of Rich Wilkerson. There were so many people who wanted to speak to the speaker afterwards, this person wasn't able to get through, so she wrote him a letter, and this is the letter that he wrote to Mr. Wilkerson. Dear Mr. Wilkerson, I attended your crusade in Seattle a few weeks ago. It's my first year of college, and a group of my friends invited me to come to your crusade. I agreed, reluctantly, but I was desperate. The preceding 4 years before college were the worst years of my life, and I was willing to try anything that might help. My nightmare started when I turned 14. That was the year my uncle moved into our home. Shortly after he moved in, he would sneak into my bedroom and sexually abuse me. He threatened to hurt me if I told anyone. So I endured the abuse, saying nothing, anxiously awaiting my first year of college when I would be out of the house. By the time I entered college, I was a mess. My first year was a disaster. I slept with any guy who would have me, drank and drugged myself into forgetfulness almost every night, but I would still be awakened by nightmares. When I came to your crusade, I was at the breaking point. And we asked us to come forward to meet Jesus, I almost ran to the front. On the 5-hour drive home from Seattle, I fell asleep. I dreamed. I was asleep in my college dorm when I was awakened by my uncle once again in my nightmare. I wanted to scream for help or get out of bed and run, but I could do neither. He kept asking me to come to him, and I could not resist. I could feel myself giving up and coming to him once again when suddenly, the door to my dorm room opened again, and it was Jesus, with his arms wide open, beckoning me to come to him. I jumped out of bed and ran past my uncle into the arms of Jesus. I woke up with all the girls in the car looking at me because I was crying and saying out loud, "I'm free! I'm free! See, Jesus is trying to do some things in our lives, if we let him. The tough part is that we have pride, we have fear, we have vulnerabilities. How could he love me? And we have things we hide, partly to save face and partly because we don't know if anyone's actually going to listen. So I'm singing this song not to entertain you, my dear people. I'm not trying to entertain you. I don't think I'm that great of a singer, songwriter, or player. But I believe in the power of one verse. that God can get a hold of us if we choose. We can go to church for years and not really understand it's about a relationship. How many times have you heard that? But that means being open and vulnerable, and that can be a difficult place to be. But whether you're 14 or whatever age you are, these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit that we're singing about really are about the character of Jesus, the relationship that he holds, that he desires for you to know as you repent and turn away from whatever it is, and being able to face it, knowing, as that young lady did, that Jesus would not only get you through, he'll help transform your life. How can we grow with you, Jesus? How can we know we are loved? Remember the fruit of the Spirit, the best thing we can think of. Love, joy, peace, fruit of the Spirit. Patience, kindness, fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, faithfulness, fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, self-control, fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. Spirit alive in you, in me. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Please join in if you wish. Can we go back to the beginning, Mike? How can we grow with you, Jesus? How can we know we are loved? Remember the fruit of the Spirit, the best thing we can think of. Love, joy, peace, fruit of the Spirit. Patience, kindness, fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, faithfulness, fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, self-control, fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. Spirit alive in you, in me. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. In order to help kind of reinforce this, what I'm going to ask is that this side of the congregation, if you don't mind, sing the fruit of the Spirit part that you just, that's up on the screen. Well, it's gone. That will be up on the screen. The fruit, well, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not, it's only four words. The fruit of the Spirit. And then I'm going to teach this side the love part. And of course, some people like the Beatles, love, you know, or whatever, whatever group that you like, or, you know, this influential. But we're going to sing love, love, love. So just to kind of go with it. And by love, the word that Paul uses for love, guess which one it is? It's the agape. It's divine love. It isn't self-seeking. It's the love that God freely offers us so that we would be free in Christ. Okay. So can we just go to the last slide? Yeah, good. Yeah. Galatians 5:22-23, Spirit alive in you, in me, the fruit of the Spirit. Just keep doing that. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Get the idea. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love, 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 love. Joy now. Joy, joy, fruit of the Spirit. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy. Peace, peace, peace. Peace, peace, peace. Peace, peace, peace. Peace, 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 the Spirit. Do you want to switch? No, you're happy with that. Okay, great. I conclude with a little poem by Dr. Kenneth Moynihan. And as I do so, I realize that taking on a verse of the Bible and learning it or a song might be out there for you. It might be kind of a weird thing. I can't remember anything. You can. You really do if you're emotionally attached to it. But it isn't just a question, as educational specialists will tell you, psychologists will tell you, it isn't just a question of I know something or I don't know something. An educational psychologist will tell us that there are actually five steps along the way to learning something new. The first is that you are aware of it. You're aware of it. You're aware that there's a Bible verse called Galatians 5:22, and it's about the character of Jesus that he wants to shape in us, the fruit of the Spirit. And we have the Spirit. It's a question of allowing it to happen. So we're aware of it. The second step is pondering it. We're pondering it. We're thinking about it. You might think about it. You might click on the sermon later on and think about it, ponder it. The next is valuing it, how you value this verse or something else that's important in your life, but presumably this verse, from being aware of it to pondering it to valuing it. And then there's the big gap between left side and right side. In other words, between just thinking about it and actually doing it, right? And that means reprioritizing. That's number four, reprioritizing so that it becomes not only a value but something that you're actually making it important in your life. And the last step is actually owning it. You own the verse. Now, I've learned this verse for years. Perhaps you, and I was still looking at my notes because I didn't want to mess up on the song. But I, you know, maybe the fact that it's not word perfect is less important than the fact that you're actually learning something of the character of God in it. So, actually, I think I've talked enough. That's probably. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gifts of your Spirit at work in this place. I know that your Spirit is already at work here. And I pray that anyone who of this group who do not know you, whether they're listening to the sermon online or they're here present with us on June 30th, if there's anyone who feels they're not loved, they're not valued, that they're not sure what the Spirit is or who Jesus is, that they might take the time, and I will certainly be happy to take the time with that person or persons to talk in a gentle way about who you are, that they too might turn from their hurt or pride or whatever it is to come in faith to you by grace, that they too might confess that Jesus is Lord and know that you've been raised from the dead. Just even if it's just that one person, you would have undergone all of that for us so that we too might be free in Christ. I'm free. I'm free at last. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.